For April the 23rd, 2021, we talk about It Takes Two, Saviorless, and we ask you to pitch games for villains. Welcome to Level 368. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jala Prendes.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, Jala.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you back. You've been playing a bunch of stuff and you did not want to forget details.
I did not want to forget details because I had my second COVID shot yesterday.
And, you're worried that that's going to wipe your memory?
Well, I guess that is a possibility. But like, I kind of like going into this week was like, well, I have a little extra time that I don't have to be working super hard on doing prep for my week because I'm not going to be doing as much because of the reactions to the COVID shot. So I have spent some time streaming some games and just playing some games in general over the weekend. And So, yeah, I've been kind of incapacitated from the COVID shot to where I can't play any games, really. Like, I have not been playing games to, you know, yesterday or today, but, you know.
I'm not doing the, like, the, so which one'd you get? Like, making conversation about a weird new thing. I'm actually curious because I want to know, because I'm getting my second shot next week. Which one did you get?
Moderna.
Okay, so that's what I've got as well. Regardless, so, like, I'll be recording the night after I get that. In fact, I'm gonna be running out and getting the shot in between recording sessions.
Oh, wow. Geez. Well, the good news is that, like, usually the reactions don't come right away. It's a little bit later. So, like, I was fine all afternoon. I cleaned out my closet and I was doing some other stuff. And it was only in the evening that I started to feel really kind of crappy. And then I've never had a flu in my life, but last night I ended up experiencing the wonderful fun of, you know, the body chills that physically hurt and the joy that is, you know, the burning up skull when the rest of your body, like, needs to be under the blankets with no air going in and all of that wonderful fun and, you know, like, crazy fever. I'm still actually fevered right now, but I'm doing considerably better than I was yesterday. Yesterday night was rough, and so I'm tired, but I'm otherwise doing a little bit better today. I took off yesterday and today from work, anticipating feeling, you know, kind of crap. So
good call, at least.
Good, I think the biggest question and pertinent to the show is whether or not you're going to be better at video games now that Microsoft controls your brain.
Right.
Only Xbox video games.
Right. I suppose we will see the next time I pick up a game and play it.
So is Moderna team blue or team red? Do we decide that?
I have no idea. I if I could think of a fun answer, I would, but I honestly don't have a fun answer.
All right. Well, I'm team opposite color of that because I scheduled my vaccination for this Saturday.
Oh, dang. So, nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. My second's on Friday.
Cool. So we're all
everybody. And all adults are now, as of this recording, it's available to all adults. So go get your vaccine.
Yeah. I mean,
in the U.S. at least, I feel for a lot of people overseas that are listeners who are unavailable. You know, they don't have vaccines yet. So,
yeah. No,
hang in there. They're coming eventually, right?
Hopefully. Hey, pharmaceutical companies. Hey, Congress. Maybe do something about the patents on those so countries can make their own. Because, like, we really need everybody to get this thing. And I don't give a fuck about your profits. Maybe
exactly.
Yeah, just gonna get out there and say that uncontroversial thing. So
such controversy, Cole. Such controversy.
Right? Yeah, Ben. Other than getting the shot on the schedule, what are you up to?
Dude, I felt super old this last week because I found out without saying whom, two of my friends are both going through divorces.
But oh, no.
They're not married to one another, like two separate incidents in one week.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I feel like we're hitting that age milestone now, I guess. So.
About 10 years ago, it felt like all my friends were getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so. Ben, I hate to break it to you. I've been divorced for years, and that happened like since the time you've known me. So
it's true.
Like, that's also a thing. Does that mean that I'm old? Well, I am older than you. I'm older than everybody on this podcast.
Jala accidentally reinforces the
you
point.
You are all children.
Yeah.
I will say uber selfishly, Ben, that's nice for you that you don't have to pick a side. I will quickly back away from that statement. Like a bomb, right? That I realized was just armed.
I mean, I try and be a neutral party in all of those situations, you know, like, yeah. You know, I don't,
yeah,
yeah,
it's tough.
It seems weird to start like hating a person because, well, I don't know. I guess it's different. If somebody's like really shitty in a breakup, I guess that's different. But
yeah, they give you a reason to. But like, oh, I don't get to see you. What if I liked you? Like, what if I liked somebody who you get in the divorce? You know, what if there was a friend that I liked hanging out with mutually who was through you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a bummer. I mean, are you going to have to get a tux?
Sorry,
it's just that's dumb.
We'll no, I don't know. We'll see. That's on them. I don't care.
Oh, man. So, anything else beyond that? Just wanted to bum us out.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Hey, man.
Thanks.
It's more of a bummer for them, right?
Like, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't be sure that anybody besides me is even real, so.
Yeah. I don't know where to go from here.
Dottie is real.
Dottie the cat is real. Greta, we're unsure about.
So it sounds like the game we're going to talk about later was a single player game then, Cole.
Maybe. Is that why you picked that game to play, or was it just because it came out recently?
No, it wasn't because of that. Yeah, I wanted to play it. Okay. I believe I texted about playing it before either of those incidents.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Something's in the air, I guess.
Yeah.
No, well, it could, like, well, there's also, like, weird timing, too, around, like, COVID stuff being weighing down, I guess, in the U.S., where people are probably starting to act on plans that they've been thinking about for the past year. So.
Yeah. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, here, I'll zag the other way. For the first time, God, since I can remember in this pandemic, I went out to a restaurant on a date this week.
Mm. Yay!
It was actually today. It's restaurant week here in Cincinnati. So we picked out, there's a lobster bar and went and had some delicious seafood over lunch today while Nana watched the kids. And it was delightful.
Nice.
Just don't think too much about getting seafood in, you know, pretty much landlocked Ohio.
Oh, but free freezers exist. Like,
this is true. This is true.
You got the Ohio River right there.
Yeah. And also fresh caught refrigerator. Yeah.
Please have come from a freezer.
And also lobster. Wow. Lobsters are kept alive. Yeah.
Yeah. It was delicious. It was good. We did lunch, then we walked to Coffee Emporium downtown. It's, you know, I don't know. Cincinnati is that weird size of city that, especially when I was growing up, didn't have just a ton of people walking around it. Mm-hmm. So I would say something like, oh, it was eerily empty or something like that. But those streets, you know, it's always been that way.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it was nice to get out. We sat outside. It was a nice day. And that's a fun thing to do. Like, you know, we haven't gone out to a restaurant in, I mean, God, since this whole thing started.
No, I haven't been to a sit down restaurant since like May of last year, something like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's nice. I'm happy that you guys have that opportunity.
Yeah, it was good times.
Yeah. And I don't have anything going on over here, honestly. No, nothing. I'm gonna get the COVID shot. got like all my family out of town, so I'm like checking out all of their houses and getting their mail and making sure that no pipes broke, that they're not flooding. It's like, so making the rounds. Yeah.
Where did your entire family go?
Oh, different places.
Wow.
Was that something you said?
It seems weirdly coordinated.
it just ended up working out that way. Yeah.
So what would be like, you come to the home and the there's clearly a burst pipe. Like, what is your game plan?
I don't know. call the FBI.
you're there to observe and report.
No, I know where all their water shutoffs are. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's the actual answer, but that's not funny. That's just a grown-up thing. You know, knowing where the water shut off is.
You're a step
ahead
of me. So the other, we're looking at getting our basement finished.
Okay.
Now that we have kids that need like kind of a dedicated playroom area. Mm-hmm. And we had a contractor that was like looking at the space to give us a quote. And they're like, so where's your water shut off? And we're like, maybe we're like, you know, looking around, like maybe we can spot it really quickly and not seem like we don't know what the hell's going on in our own house. He's like, oh, it's here. And it's literally at the bottom of our stairs next to our light switches. Like, that's how dumb we are. So
I just turned that for fun. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so that's all that's going on here. I want to talk about video games. We have video games to discuss.
Yay.
Yeah. So we've got the usual kind of show for you. We've got the, grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
The Grind,
where we talk about games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, it's been the longest since you've been here, so I will go to you first.
Okay, well, I played a couple of games that I reported on the End Boss a long time ago. So I want to talk about both of those. Mm-hmm. The first one that I played was Moons of Madness. I talked about this a while back and I was really excited about it because it's like Cthulhu horror game in space.
Yeah.
And it's been sitting in my backlog for a bit. So I decided to finally start it up and I streamed it when I did so. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, you can check the VOD on Twitch or the archive up on my YouTube. I'm Jalachan in both of those places.
I'm curious the how premise. You're going to feel about this. Huh? I did a Hex Crank first hour about it as well, shortly after it came
did
out.
Did you? I did not realize that you had. let me talk about it first for anybody who doesn't know about it. The premise is that you're a researcher on Mars looking for signs of life. You play a guy named Shane Newhart, and your job at the station is basically just to keep the lights on until another ship arrives with a crew that is supposed to be taking over your duties on the station. Your security clearance is so low, you have like level one out of I don't know how many levels of security clearance, that you have no idea that the station's been receiving signals and messages from intelligent life. But from the very start of the game, you have hallucinations and such. You begin by waking up to go about your day, only it's dark and spooky and weird tentacles are growing everywhere and nobody else is around. And you poke around the station and find a weird setup that looks like a birthday party. And then a creepy monster pops out at you. And then you wake up in your bed and everything's normal because you were just having a bad dream. I'll stop for just a second to say there's a bunch of jump scares in this game, and absolutely none of them work on me because I've talked about this before. Jump scares don't work on me. I get mad if anything jumps out at me. Mm-hmm. So, like, I usually pull out the biggest gauge gun possible if I have a weapon and blow it away. Meanwhile, when I was streaming this, Dave behind me, he was sitting there, like, you know, next to me when I was playing this, he jumped during one of the jump scares, and then some of the people watching it jumped during the jump scares, but I was just sitting there like, oh, okay. You know, no change whatsoever. Yeah. So basically what I'm saying is never throw me a surprise party. It's not going to end well.
No, you're going to get the heaviest gauge gun
without
possible.
Your biggest gauge gun. Like, what?
Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, after the weird dream, you spend about an hour and a half doing menial chores. Like, literally, this guy's job is just making sure the power's up, so you have to go to a site and make sure the solar panels are working and futz around with the systems. And, like, there are some weird, spooky, dark things in the shadows following you around, but I was most entertained by the coffee machine where I made my guy slam back 6 cups of coffee. And I was very mad that his heart rate didn't change and it was still 70 BPM, even though
you're having hallucinations.
Right? <Yeah. laughs> Well, anyway, so after you do all these menial tasks, you go back to the station and more stuff is broken and you have to go to the greenhouse to fix the sprinklers. Then there's this long period of just navigating around a maze of vents and stuff until suddenly there's a weird tentacle beast and it pops up and follows you. Except he's not actually actively pursuing you. He kind of pops up occasionally, mostly when you go the wrong way. So it's not scary because it's kind of leisurely. Like you can kind of chill in between spots and he doesn't come after you.
He just yells, "Why didn't you refill the coffee pot?"
Exactly. I was so mad because my guy put the coffee mug right on top of the coffee machine and didn't wash it when he was done drinking his coffee. Gross, I was like, dude. That's gross.
Just rinse it out. Come on.
Rinse it.
I know a lot of times in horror games, your characters kind of deserve to die or deserve what's coming to them. Now we can be sure that's the case here.
Well, so anyway, after that, then you end up in a weird dream cave lighting up some orbs on stands with your hand for reasons no one bothers to explain. And then there's glowing tentacle beasts in the background and you read a bunch of logs from some guy who, of course, wants to be one with all the gooby things. And the cave is basically half made of your memories. There's like half formed buildings and stuff. And then it's half glowy goob and just cave material. And then you see a weird humanoid lady monster thing. And she says some nonsense. And I stopped playing right about the time that I ended up in my childhood basement right after that. And I was just like, okay, well, none of this is really particularly scary because it's just relying on jump scares and jump scares don't work on me. And this narrative is not moving quickly enough to make me excited. And you just made me do a bunch of menial chores for no reason. I'm not the type of person who takes joy in the menial tasks that, you know, repetitive, boring things like that. Like that's not fun to me. So I was not impressed.
Stop attacking Ben.
I was not impressed. And so I just basically was like, okay, I've sunk in 2 hours in this game. I don't feel like I got anything out of this except for being upset about the coffee not making this guy's heart rate go up. But maybe it was decaf. I don't know.
Caffeine but has anyway, been outlawed.
Yeah, I don't know. Generally, that was the thing that most upset me out of everything.
That's a good basis for a horror game, outlawing caffeine.
Well, so yeah, I don't know. I can't even really say, oh man, it looks so good. I mean, like there were parts where that really looked super RE7, you know, like with the gooby stuff on the walls and whatever. But I don't know. I wasn't very excited about it. It wasn't very scary. The stuff that's coming after you doesn't actually like. And then even when you see the dark stuff popping up in places, you know, when you're just doing your tasks, like they're not doing anything. They pop up out of the corner of your eye and you go, oh, I think you're supposed to, again, be jump scared about all this stuff. And I'm just like, all right.
So is there any like combat or quick time events or is it just like they're just gating essentially like where you can and can't go?
It's just gating. Okay. Like, you know, like if you get too close to the gooby things, then like your vision gets all weird and tentacles and then eventually you die and then you have to start over from a save point. Okay. So
yeah,
it's not very exciting. I was actually extremely disappointed with that. I was like, I thought it was going to be at least a little more interesting than that. That like if I wanted a you know, kind of scary whatever, I would go and try to play like Amnesia or something. This is just not working for me.
Yeah.
So even then when I played Amnesia, I was like running after the monster, like, please kill me. I want to see what the death animation is like. And then he ran away from me.
Yeah.
So your
experience mostly comports with mine. I was really wanting to dig it more than I did, but it just, the pieces don't quite fit together is kind of one of the problems with it.
Well, here's the thing. I think this would have worked so much better as like a short novella or something.
Yeah.
But like putting it in a game form just did not do it justice. I think this would have been better as like a prose work. So.
Yeah. It kind of falls into the same category as like a bunch of stuff that I've streamed kind of recently, Canarium, whatever, the one I did that was that had like all the big monsters off in the distance. I even forget the name of it. Which is like, I don't know, like, walking simulator is an unfairly disparaging thing, but, like, just let's say, like, very low interactivity first person adventure games where the puzzles are not even necessarily that complex. It's more just like tasks or whatever. With like Moons of Madness, I remember giving me really bad, did you run into this, where it's like, okay, I think I'm done here, but I might or might not be. Let me walk for about 10 minutes back to the plate, you know, to where a door was locked, and oh, it's still locked, so let me walk for 10 minutes back over here, and oh, you missed this one panel in this one particular place. Like, did you run into problems like that, just like really bad flagging and signaling and stuff?
Well, yeah, there was definitely some of that going on, especially when I was running around trying to find all the panels. I'm like, I'm supposed to do what, where? Now, where was that thing? And yeah, like, yeah. I don't know where this thing is or what this is that I'm supposed to be doing. Like, you know, just having to loop back around a few times to figure out where anything was. I wasn't very excited. So
yeah,
it was not a great experience.
That's a bummer, because like the idea sounds like it could be good in concept, so it's a bummer that they couldn't execute on it.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, like, I just really feel like this, it would be better served by a prose format, not by a video game format. Certain things just do not work the same way as they might in your head when you start making the thing, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And if you're not interested in making it especially interactive, you know? Yeah.
Well, I've got one more meh thing to talk about before I talk about the thing I'm excited about, but I want to end on the good notes. So okay. Let me briefly say, I booted up Hitman.
Okay.
And I played the tutorial and I streamed it, and that is as far as I got with it.
Because, when you say tutorial, which level is it? The fake boat?
The boat one. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody kept on saying that I really like it, so I gave it a shot, but I got mad about all the stuff it wouldn't let me do. Like, I can't just go kill people in public, and it wouldn't let me use all the objects I wanted to use, and it's really slow-paced, which requires a lot more interest in waiting and watching and planning with what we're going to do, when I'm more interested in being completely reckless and, you know, breaking the game. And, like, it's like...
Ballers out.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, yes, do I like doing sneaky-sneaky? Yes, but, like... this isn't the kind of sneaky that works for me. And then when it started the tutorial over again, where it's like, this time for real, now you do it for real, I was just done with it. And I just went on and ended up playing Bioshock 2, which I'll talk about the next time.
Yeah. That tutorial level is really limited in terms of the things that it makes available to. It's very packed. And if you get caught or you get alerted, there's not an awful lot of room for you to panic in an interesting way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll go back to it and try to play more of it later. But at that particular moment, I had already tried Moons of Madness, and then I was frustrated with that, and I was like, "Let's play Hit." Oh, this is also very slow moving, and like this is not what I'm feeling right now. So then I just moved on to Bioshock. But I mean, like, it wasn't a bad game. It's just not like the kind of thing I wanted to do at the time. It was just like, I don't know. And I just was not going to do the same level again. I was just like, no.
Yeah.
I'm done with it at this point in time. So
you want pacing that is more Hitman as an HIIT man.
There you go. So. Yeah, but anyway, so that was my experience, my brief experience with Hitman. It's not like I will never go back and play this game again. It was just like, I am not feeling it at this juncture, because Bioshock 2 does not play anything like that. And that's what I then played that for a couple of hours. So like, I was playing a lot of games.
Yeah, Bioshock and, 2 owns. Yeah,
so I will reserve things about that to the time that I talk about that, because I'm only about a third through it, and I want to wait till I'm done with it to make commentary. So I will wait on that.
That is the Bioshock that I think I've gotten. I think I've finished the other two, and I know I've played a significant portion of Bioshock 2, but I don't think I finished it. So I will be listening with bated breath.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm streaming Bioshock as well, as I mentioned. So it's the remastered version, so it looks pretty. So I streamed the first third, like I said. I will pick up, and it'll probably be two or three sessions more, and then I'll be done with it, because it's not that long of a game. I looked up how long it is. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm actually already a third through. Okay. So, but anyway, I do not ever ask me when I will stream. I don't know. It just kind of happens whenever I feel inclined to stream, which is random. So yeah. If you want to know, you have to follow me on Twitch and put your little notifications on or grab the VOD when I'm done. So anyway, the last thing that I played that I was super excited about, though, is the demo for Saviorless. Now, I reported about this game some time ago, and it's being developed by Empty Head Games in Cuba, and it is the first independent Cuban video game. My dad and his family came from Cuba, but they left there during Operation Pedro Pan, fleeing Castro's rise to power. So their perspective, my family's perspective, is not anything like the perspective of the people who live there now, you know? Listeners will know that I tend to be interested in games by people of different perspectives, minorities, marginalized groups, or from other cultures that you don't often see video games from. And that goes double for when I've got a personal link. So I've been following this since, I want to say it was 2017 when I first mentioned this game.
I was going to say, you talked about this a long time ago.
A long time ago. This was back before it was NBOSS. We were, it was the brief back then that we talked about. Our stuff. But anyway, they've got a Steam page, and it is a super exciting thing for me. It's a dark fantasy action platformer with hand-drawn art and animation, and it's gorgeous. fabulous audio and character design besides. This game, just to tell you kind of how it starts, what the setup is. It begins with a scrawny human guy chasing after the radiant heron, whose egg can be used to birth a new savior and open a path to the Smiling Lands, which is where the saviors live. He wants to become a savior, and he forms a covenant with a creature called a Tela, born from the heron's egg, and is then transported to the Smiling Lands. Only when he gets there, he finds out that the saviors are not at all what they were purported to be. They're not immortal. They're trapped in the Smiling Lands, and they are bloody killers. Like, there are, like, the saviors' commandments where they have to kill. They can't look backwards. And, you know, like, they have a limited time that they can, you know, use their powers before they have to revert back to their normal selves. Mechanically, you switch between being the human boy and your savior form. And as a human, or as a savior, you have a limited amount of time, like I mentioned, to reach the end point of the little savior section as your life burns up. In order to extend your time, you have to kill and destroy everything in your path. And everything that you kill and destroy gives you a little bit of bonus time. And your new goal upon discovering the lies of the saviors is to escape the Smiling Lands, as you come across a boss creature and several imprisoned creatures that are, like, creepy as heck looking. But that's where the demo ends, right when you see the boss. So I'm really excited to play the full game when it's available. And Dave was watching me play the demo, and he was super excited too. And when we finished it and moved on to a different game, he told me, over and over again, I really just want this to be saviorless. I just want to play more of that game. I want to see more of that game. So there's a lot of attention to detail, motes of dust floating inside a ruin with light streaming in the window. The radiant heron's call generates a sound wave. Even the change in stance for the main character when he transforms into a savior. And when he's floating, he spreads his arms out with his legs together, so he looks kind of like somebody on a cross, which goes with the whole savior theme. And these attentions to detail are also in the sound design. I really strongly recommend turning the volume up on your speakers or wearing headphones, because it's definitely worth paying attention to the audio on this. The different themes change not just by the area, but also by intent. There's just some subtle changes that go on in the audio for that as well. I'm probably going to stream the demo this weekend sometime. It's only about 20 minutes long, but I was so excited about it. I'm like, I really want more people to see it. Since it's a demo, I think it might be even available for other people to play on Steam currently. But if not, like, if, I don't know actually if it will let me stream it since it's not out yet. But if it allows me to, I will stream it. Mm-hmm. So
speaking of details, I watched the 2020 trailer that's posted to YouTube and then mm-hmm. went back and found the one from 2017 just because I was curious, like, I wonder how this has progressed. Mm-hmm. And there seemed to be in the 2017 version some kind of fourth wall breaking details, like someone collapses a text box almost onto the hero. And at certain points, it looks like almost like the code behind the game is breaking through. So were there shades of that in the demo you played, or has that largely been edited out?
That was not in the demo that I played. There was just in the very beginning a kind of introduction text that tells you kind of what the setup of the game is. And then after a few lines, then it says, I'm talking too much again. You need to start playing. And then it goes into the game. So it directly acknowledges you as the player. I do know, though, that since they first came up with the concept, it was originally called Savior, but they had to change it because another company in the U.S. ended up copywriting Savior as the name of their video game, which, by the way, it looks absolutely terrible. That game does. But anyway, so that forced these folks to change the name to Saviorless. But they went through multiple demos over the years. They worked on it one way, and then they changed how the gameplay was and everything and kind of approached it in different formats. And they ended up having a new programmer come on since they began. So I know that there have been a lot of changes. I don't know if the final product will have any of those elements addressing that fourth wall more so than it already has just by directly saying you need to play this thing. You know, I guess that will be to be seen when it is released, but I'm super jazzed. I was very excited to be able to play it. I did back it on Indiegogo back in the day. So, you know, that's how I came across the demo. So, it may not be publicly available. I'm not sure. But again, if I can, I will stream it and then I will let everybody know and pop it up on my YouTube and Twitch and of course, Twitter.
Yeah.
Super intriguing.
It looks really cool. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Hollow Knight, actually. Like to see it in motion.
Yeah, that kind of animated style or drawn style.
Mm-hmm. But I love like the flat color to it as well. And the color choices themselves are, you know, really amazing. But like you just kind of don't see something that simple that also ends up looking that good in motion as well. So, even more curious than I was before.
Oh, yeah. And it's all hand drawn. All the animations and everything are all hand drawn. They're, you know, all painstakingly done individually by their artists. So, yeah, awesome. But like I had actually contacted the developers after I got very excited about it. And I just wanted to tell them cause I was about to pop because Steam, since the game is not released, I could not release a review for it. So I was sad about that. So I ended up messaging the creators and kind of chatting with them a little bit. And they were like, very interested in the feedback that they would get. So if any of the listeners have end up having access to that demo, if it is available and you have feedback to share, definitely get in contact with them. And also they were like, oh, well, don't worry if there's, you know, some weirdness on this aspect or this aspect. I think it must be something that they were working really hard on. It'll be even better in the full version of the game when we get there. And, you know, for me, I was just like, I love the whole demo. I don't have anything negative to say about the demo that I played. I literally have nothing bad to say about this thing so far. I'm super excited.
So. Do we know if this is anywhere close to being released?
I do not know. Yeah. I do know that they had more recently picked up, I think it was within the last year, they picked up a new programmer because they were having some problems with their prior programming and such. But I think now that they've got the demo and the demo plays well and it is well received, they have a better direction with which they can, you know, kind of take the programming aspects and all of that to continue on. I know they'd been working on it for quite a long time, but I don't know what the release date is at this point.
Yeah. Nice.
Still.
Saviorless.
Yes. Whenever it's available, I will tell you all about it because I'll play it right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that here, because I had forgotten about it.
Yeah.
No. Cool. Did you have anything else?
There's a lot more, but we're not talking about it today. Somebody else talk.
Cool. Ben, how about you?
Yeah. Got a small one. I finished Quomp, the one game I think I talked about last week, where it's like the one button control game.
Yeah.
Man, that game is a lot better when you turn the sound on, is what I found out the last week.
Oh no.
It just has like a pretty good soundtrack, so that improved the quality of gameplay. But that was also just kind of funny that it was like that it made that much of a difference of like getting into it versus just kind of being blah. But I mean, overall, the game was just okay. It's, you know, it's like it's a pretty small stakes game. You know, it's not going to change your perspective on anything or anything like that. But it's just like a small puzzle, twitchy type game. So if you're into that, it could be fun. The larger game that I played this week, I think I'm going to already segue into you, Cole, is we played It Takes Two yesterday.
We did the new game from the brothers, A Tale of Two Sons and A Way Out studio.
Yeah.
Those people.
Hazelight, I believe, might be the studio name. Maybe.
Yes. Yeah. The game
I was just looking at that on the store.
Yeah.
The game with the frankly kind of juvenile attitude toward divorce that it's always bad.
Yeah, yep. It has the same like kind of cheesiness of story that you kind of expect from A Way Out, where there's a lot of like conventions that are just like, here's this like idea or stereotype of a person, just go with it. Yeah, I think we mentioned, like, there's a scene very early in the game where it's like the parents sit down and tell their daughter that they're having a divorce. And the daughter, like, is like, okay, I'm going to go to my room now. It's like,
and they just let her go.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that went well.
I thought she was going to make a whole big thing about this.
Yeah, so this game was, I think we mentioned this yesterday when we were playing it. This game was not on my radar at all. I only noticed it when people on Twitch started playing it and streaming it for content. But yeah, it's very much a co-op game. It's very much in the vein of A Way Out in terms of mechanics, but it's totally completely different. It feels kind of like a Pixar film, I guess, or a Disney film.
Yeah.
The premise is you're playing as a husband and wife who decide they're going to have a divorce. They tell their kid that, and through the tears of their child, they're turned into action dolls that their child has.
Yeah.
And they have to try and find a way to become their human selves again.
Yeah. But they're being tormented by a magical self-help book about love and marriage Dr. Hakim that is voiced and performed as... I still don't know what accent it is, but it comes across as a really over the top, like stereotypical and obnoxious caricature of like just the way a Mexican person would speak, or a very American person ideas of how a Mexican person would speak.
because it's going for like a caricature of a person, it's hard to tell whether or not this is offensive.
Yeah.
And I am not in the position to,
I'm not going to take offense for somebody else. I just know he's really obnoxious. And like, that's kind of the role he is playing. Like these two people just want to resume their lives as humans. And he is like stepping in the way, kind of like literally closing doors on them. So they have to go through these challenges together and stuff. These challenges that like take them through like stuff on their property, like their shed or a tree that's on it. But it's all full of like magical little I bought some My Little Toaster which is bad and weird magical
little toaster.
Yeah, the Brave Little Toaster like animated like possessions of theirs, or we just did a section where we were working with the squirrels in their tree to take care of the wasp problem that they had. Not the wasp problem where two white people moved in on their property, like literal like bugs. Yeah.
That's a good observation though, because both things happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, it kind of has similar tropes to like something like an Army Men game, where it's like you're walking through a giant environment and there's just kind of like innate joy to seeing that. But yeah, as you mentioned, it kind of touches on like Brave Little Toaster, in that all these objects are anthropomorphized. And then there's also like brief moments of like really dark things happening, even though they're supposed to be just kind of like funny objects.
I mean, I'm going to spoil one of them, but just to give a little sense of how dark this is. The first boss that you fight is an old vacuum that was broken, that was like kept in the shed where you're initially trapped. And he's real angry at you for breaking him and then never fixing him. So you have to work together to take him out. And the way that you end up killing him is you take two of his little arms, which are suction hoses, and force them into his eyes to suck his eyes out, and that kills him.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yes. And there's like no tonal match to how dark this is. It's still like happy and jolly the entire time.
It's all over the place. It's psychotic.
Yeah. also, like, side note, like, the squirrels are kind of like Nazi scientists in a way. Yeah, like, they have torture devices that they're making.
Mm-hmm. At least again, some of this is true to life.
Yeah, it's like they don't draw any tonal shift to the seriousness of that. It's just kind of like happy-go-lucky sort of thing.
Does it feel like different directors handling different pieces, or just like what do you think gave rise to the tonal difference?
I think it's the same thing as A Way Out, where it's like, you know, like in The Way Out, there's like a level where it's like, I think they go to like a trailer park and it kind of like rests on this, like all these characters are very like heavily like stereotyped. And it kind of seems to fall in the same vein as like something like A Heavy Rain or something like that.
Yeah.
It to me, it seems like it's just like a product of that, where it's just kind of like resting on these like stereotypes and not being like a fully realized like type of characters, maybe. But
I think they get an idea and they say we have to do that, and I don't know that they necessarily think twice about implementing it.
Yeah, but I mean, but story criticisms aside or character criticisms aside, the gameplay,
it's a fun game. It's really good.
Like, gameplay is super fun and super varied. I was impressed at how many times like the level completely changes and you're playing like a completely different game. Like, for example, it's like you go from a Jet Set Radio type set piece to like a boss battle to a motorboat situation to just like straight up just a Portal 2 type two-player like co-op puzzle game.
And you know, most if not all of the gimmicks that you kind of like shift in between, the basic control is like a 3D platformer, like a, you know, a Mario, or like a Hat in Time or anything like that. But like the gimmicks and stuff that you get, they're all based around doing stuff together. And so like when you say, oh, mechanically it's like A Way Out, you always see what both people are doing. Like there's a split screen up. Mm-hmm. Or it'll be Dottie, don't take that hair tie. Come on.
Would that be
sorry. Go ahead.
I was about to ask, would that be true if you guys were playing online? But obviously you were playing online.
Right. So
that is really interesting.
Yeah.
I took a red eye to Cincinnati, or not to Ohio. Yeah. Wanted to figure it out.
Yeah. No, it's the same if you play it online. Which is really impressive. Like there are points where you can see stuff kind of like shift around or lag or what have you, but like it's great for communication because you can just say, oh, that thing at the top of your field of view or whatever. But like the gimmicks are always you're working together. So like in the shed, the majority of the stuff is like one of the characters grabs like the head of a claw hammer that they can use to do like ground pounds and to like use the great claw part to like
swing your other appliances into submission.
So you can use that to like swing from stuff as well, like, you know, use the claw part to like swing on nails. The other person gets a bunch of nails that they can throw around and target to like either hold things in place or to create little grapple points for the person with the hammerhead. And like they do a really good job of both tutorializing and then exploiting every part of that before ultimately taking you to a boss fight where you have to, you know, collaborate and use you, yeah, well, yes, to stop the boss. Yeah. No, just, you know, you're going to be playing this with voice chat. Yes. But it's like, yeah, no, you are working together, to figure out what order you need to do stuff. Right. And mm-hmm. each person has a, you know, a separate set of abilities, and most of these gimmicks. Really, really inventive game, honestly.
Yeah. Cool. And similar to A Way Out, they kind of litter the game with like mini games that you can play with the other person, where mm-hmm. it's like these like small competitive things. Like none of them have the charm of trying to do a wheelie in a wheelchair in a hospital, but yeah. you know, they're good second and third places.
Uh-huh. I'm going to need you to elaborate on the motorboat incident or the mechanics, because that.
So a lady has very large breasts.
Could be taken a lot of different ways.
Yeah. No. Like you're on a trash can lid. One person has like a gun that can spray stuff, and you can use that. That person will spray things in like one direction, and that gives propulsion to the boat that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to answer for you, Ben. I just...
No, it's good. It takes two to answer some of these questions.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're only like 3 hours in, and I think we've basically gotten through two different like set pieces, but mm-hmm. they're both like well done so far. So I'm impressed by the game so far.
Yeah. I still hate that fucking book. he's just really, really obnoxious and over the top. But like it's a real pretty game as well. Like the being in the blown up version, the honey I shrunk the kids, in this case it would be Honey We Shrunk Ourselves. There was a Honey we shrunk ourselves.
Honey we shrunk ourselves and traumatized the kids.
Yes. like being in all of these like really fantastical locations that look kind of like blown up versions of, you know, sheds and stuff like that. It's just really neat and really inventive. I had basically no expectation going into it other than I knew it would be a fun time to hang around and play a game with Ben. Mm-hmm. But like I came away really impressed with how creative the whole thing was. Yeah.
Well, it's tradition too, because we played A Way Out together as
we
well.
Did. Yeah.
So I'm hoping in this game too, we fight to see who can. Well, right, spoilers on A Way Out.
if this ends like A Way Out does, it will be very unexpected.
Be awesome. Kid will also not be phased at all. I'm gonna go to my room now.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I don't know that I have anything else to say about It Takes Two. I'm looking forward to playing it again. We're about a quarter of the way through, I think.
Oh, sweet. Cool. Yeah, same.
Yeah. Any other questions about It Takes Two?
No, it sounds fun.
Yeah. Oh, so here's something about it. It's a real pain in the ass to make it work. So if you
I was thinking of saving that for like a news item, but yeah, you have to play it through Origin, and
even if you buy it on Steam,
yeah.
So like, if you buy it in Steam, it'll launch in an Origin, and both of you have to have an Origin account. They do the thing like with A Way Out, where only one person needs to own it, and that's good. Mm-hmm. But we spent a good 20 minutes trying to figure out how to get into the same game together.
Yeah. Or it's like we're both online looking at our client, both having sent a friend request to one another, but mm-hmm. neither of us having received it. It's like, oh.
Yep.
You need that split screen for getting into the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's their way to filter people who are actually serious about playing together.
Yeah. But yeah.
Anytime you have to like gate your customer through a certain service like that is pretty unpleasant. So.
Yep. It's bad. I wish they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But
I guess like I guess the counterpoint is people probably do that because Steam probably takes a hefty cut out of profits. So
yeah.
On the same time, Steam shouldn't do that. So
yeah.
Yeah. This is 40% more difficult, but I'm also getting 40% more profit.
Yeah. So, and if we lose 40% of the people who would otherwise play this and they refund it, oh wait, shit, we're back where we began at the start. Oh fuck. Yeah, I'll do mine real quick here. So in addition to playing some Phoenix Wright Justice for All, I hate that fucking clown so much.
I finished it, by the way, if you didn't know.
Cool. I'm working on it.
You hate the clown, yes.
Yeah, the clown. We'll talk about it on that bonus level. But I've also been playing Mother 3. Now, this is not for WAF. Just in case anybody's ears perked up, like, oh, they're doing a WAF for it. Honestly, it's because I finished reading the books that inspired Mother 3. So this is the sequel to, this is the third game by the guy who made Earthbound. Okay. That creator, that guy whose name I do not know off the top of my head, and I've not looked it up, and I'm talking, and I won't look it up while I'm talking. he was inspired by reading a series of books by a Hungarian Swiss French author named Agatha Christoph. Not Agatha Christie, just a very similar name.
So that feels like a knockoff. Come on.
Yeah, no. Gary made the same joke when I mentioned reading these.
I can't, it's uncanny.
But it's a series of three books called the Notebook, The Proof, and The Third Lie. They're really good, really affecting, like, and also kind of, you know, just not torturous, but like they really play with, is any of this true, is part of this true, which version of this is true. Like the entire thing is like, it's about these two kids who grow up in this border town on the border between Hungary and Germany. And they're born shortly before World War II. And then they kind of like over the course of a couple of different revolutions and the town changing hands, eventually separate from each other. And like each book is like three different versions of the way that story could have gone. Regardless, the characters of those books are called Lucas and Klaus, and Mother 3 concerns itself at least with one of them, or with you have two twins who are also named Lucas and Klaus, and also it kind of like deals with being separated and an invading force coming in and all of that. It's Earthbound. It's weird and quirky. It's a turn-based RPG. It has Earthbound's kind of trick, Earthbound_trick, which is that when you take damage, you do not take all of the damage at once. And in fact, it kind of like counts the HP damage down almost like an odometer. So like you can, if you have a high enough defense, take a mortal blow, but then issue, you know, enough damage while it's counting down, and, you know, in order to win win the fight before a character dies, or heal them before they die. Stuff like that. You can also, another thing here that is new for Mother 3 is that it, you can, it's a little bit like Super Mario RPG or Paper Mario or something like that, where, you have like an active thing. So you don't just attack, you have to do little timed button presses. But in this case, the timing for the button presses, is to the, music that is playing. There's like a particular beat to all the songs that you have to listen to. And you can get extra hits in, if you tap along, with the music, and the more difficult fights have, more intricate kind of beats, more intricate rhythm lines to them. So it's, you know, tougher to discern, which is good and cool. I'm not very far into it. It's already noticeably darker than Earthbound, which kind of has a little bit more of an idyllic start. Like the family in question gets separated like right away. And it is, you know, it does not spend time kind of building up a quirky and weird world before the status quo starts getting updated or kind of thrown in. Which is interesting and neat, especially for a game with this aesthetic and kind of from this era, you know, from the early 2000s, that is kind of playing with this. I'm kind of curious about how dark it's going to go. I don't know if I'm going to finish it just because these games are time consuming, but it's been fun to like pick this up and then kind of check and see what elements it shares in common with these books that I really, really enjoyed. that the creator of the games, let's see here, Shigesato Itoi, that he also enjoyed. So yeah, it's neat. This was, so it was originally made for Game Boy Advance back in like 2003, I think. And it's only available in America as a result of fan translation. I'm actually playing it on a reproduction cart that I bought at a at a convention.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, that's cool that you've got the books to reference. It's always more fun to kind of know what they're pulling from or what they're shooting for.
Yeah,
it kind of puts everything in context.
It's, I mean, and they're pretty obscure books. The first one was a little bit more popular than the others. And obviously they're more popular in their own, you know, kind of like region, right? Because that's where they came out. But, you know, I think over here, they're really only known to Americans, either of their fans of, you know, Central European literature, or if they know about the Mother 3 connection. I only know about them because of the Mother 3 connection. Yeah.
I want to find the one guy who's like a huge fan of the books. It's like, oh shit, they make games inspired by this?
That's like, oh, this is a terrible adaptation. And like, well, no, it's like, it's different stuff. Like, yeah, you know, like the books are super bleak about, it's kind of about how it sucks to live in a war-torn small little village.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. But that's all. That's all I got. It Takes Two and Mother 3.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool.
No 4?
What's that?
You had 2 and 3. No 4?
No 4.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. But damn it, I wrote down Mother 4. That's not a game that exists and probably never will. There you go. Dennis, round us out. What you been up to?
Yeah, I actually went back to an old favorite and caught my gaming white whale. I went back to Slay the Spire.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I knew Ben would be excited about this, but I played a ton of Slay the Spire and kind of wandered away from it. For anyone not familiar with it, you kind of a deck building roguelike. There's the final boss, and then if you meet a couple criteria throughout the playthrough, there's like a final boss that you can get to. And I had beaten the final boss with all three characters that are available to you, but had only beaten the final boss with two of them. And the funny thing, so the third one is the defect for anyone familiar with the game. And the funny thing is that the defect was the character that I had beaten the regular final boss the most times with. I was most consistent at beating the game with. I was at the highest ascension tier, which, like, as you beat the game, you can add modifiers that make it harder. So when it came to just the normal final boss, I was best at it with the defect, but for some reason could not get over the hump and beat, they call it the ending, with the defect. And at that point, I wandered away from the game and just was thinking about it the other day. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to finish it, damn it. So I reinstalled it, went back to it. And it only took me 2 tries to get through and beat the ending with the defect. So
wait a second. There's 4 classes. Have you beaten things with the Watcher?
We don't speak of the Watcher. All right. Why don't you go
for I see.
Not one of the original 3, not canon. Okay. And I hate that freaking class.
Okay.
I actually did several runs where I'm like, you know, I should beat it with the Watcher as well. And then I, you know, did it. I was like, nope, that reminds me. I hate that class. So the trophy says that I beat the ending with all relevant characters. And damn it, that's what I'm standing on.
It sounds like you're beating this game as many times as they've made endings to this game, which is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a little bit disappointing because I, you know, beat it with all three of them, beat the true ending with all three of them. And there really wasn't anything there. You know, it was a couple lines of dialogue that shunted you back into just playing the game again, I guess, on a higher ascension level, you know, higher difficulty level, which is fine. The game is fun. And there's plenty of room to play there. But Specifically in the context of me also playing Hades right now, it just feels woefully inadequate. But a fun little detail about how I won. So the defect channels these orbs above them, and after a certain amount are channeled, they will start dealing damage. Well, I got a card or an ability that made it so every time I took damage, I channeled an orb, which is fun because the final boss has an attack where they do 2 damage like 24 times or something like that. And I knew that was coming, got the channel orb thing up in time, and had that proc. So I channeled whatever 24 orbs and had those dealing damage.
You played yourself, Hart.
Yep. The great thing is though, it took until the second time that attack happened that I was in range, and that attack would have killed me, except it, for each individual hit, it adds the orb. And so had I wasn't sure when I played it, how the order of operations would work for that. Thankfully it went in my favor where the attack that the heart had queued up, the final boss, was enough to kill me if it had gone all the way through. But because it kind of parsed out for each individual hit, I killed it before it killed me. So, you know, kind of finishing that on the razor's edge, and I had removed all my ascension tiers. So I was playing on the easiest level. So still, for whatever reason, can barely beat that boss, but at least I have beat it.
Nice. White whale harpoons.
Yeah. And there is a literal white whale in that game. So.
Go ahead. Can I go over some umbrage that I might have taken during this conversation?
Grievances.
Do you think that comparing this game to Hades is a fair comparison?
Ooh.
They're a game studio, and this is like 3 people who made this game.
3 people made Slay the Spire.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's completely fair to compare them just because of how much gameplay DNA they share. And obviously there's different genres mixed in with the roguelike base. But there's a lot of, I describe Hades about a procedural upgrade tree. And in many ways, that's what procedurally building a deck is like. I think it's fair to compare them on that level. But in terms of like, oh, I wish there were 60 more hours of story content. No, I can't honestly hold a team of 3 accountable for delivering that. But man, to kind of segue over, Hades is killing it on that front, in a way that just makes any time that, you know, the reason to play a roguelike again is it's harder this time. That just feels like not quite enough now. But any other questions on Slay the Spire?
How dare you? That's a question.
My friends fight for me.
I'm pretty sure that's how the heart was feeling when I beat him.
No, that's sweet though that you were able to kill it in that way. Like, it's cool that the game supports that kind of interaction.
Yep. It was one of those agonizing turns where I'm sitting there like counting. I had to make sure I didn't play enough cards that turn that put me below. Because also against this final boss, every time you play a card, it takes a toll on your health. So it was doing the math and just sitting there agonizing over, okay, if it works this way, I win. If it works that way, I lose. Which is a very XCOM moment to have if we're comparing to other games.
Yeah.
The thing I absolutely hate is how the heart has like a limit to how much damage you can give them per round.
Yeah, it's what's like, with that?
You're going to penalize the deck for going off and be like, nope, got to go off 3 turns in a row.
Yeah. So I also, that was the first time I'd played it after their latest patch where they balanced some of the cards. And I think that was part of the reason I drifted away from it is I saw there was a big patch and they updated a bunch of cards. And I was like, I don't feel like kind of refiguring out that or you know, figuring out what to think of those changes. But honestly, I didn't even notice the differences because enough time had passed. I was just like, oh, that's the card. That seems pretty much what I remember. You know, it's close enough. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I was kind of deep into it, it felt like a very big change. So I continuing on this kind of genre of games that I do feel comfortable comparing to each other, Ben, I reached the credits on Hades. So there is like, there's a main objective presented in the game that's really just the first act. You reach that objective, and then dealing with the aftermath of that objective is the second act. You succeed with dealing with the aftermath, and then there's a third act where you deal with the aftermath of the aftermath. All from a story perspective, like all this stuff unwinding about the Olympian family and who did what to whom and how they feel about it and what could you possibly do to kind of keep this family from essentially going to war with itself, is still being doled out in what feels like an incredibly intentional way. And I checked before I hopped on the podcast when I'm 66 runs in.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah. So good number to stop and meditate on a game about escaping hell, I figure. but yeah, so like I'm still playing it for the story at this point, which is crazy town. Like that makes no sense to me. And on top of that, you get like a little in-game Wikipedia page of everyone and everything.
Goodness.
There's still an entire category of that Wikipedia that shows up as undiscovered. Like there is an entire category of thing that I just have not encountered yet.
You just haven't run into.
In the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I for whatever reason, I haven't unlocked. There's an entire currency, Ambrosia, which I think has to deal with like advancing relationships that I haven't even used yet. And I've got like 38 of them in my inventory. And I'm like, it's a reward for beating one of the later bosses, but just for some reason, the way I've interacted with the game, I haven't found a place to use it yet. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I know this is valuable. Where this is placed in the game tells me it's valuable. But I still haven't unlocked. So like both from a story side and a mechanic side, this thing is still unfolding. And again, it doesn't feel like it's just rounds of, okay, now it's harder. It feels very intentional and almost bespoke, which is crazy to say about a game that has so much roguelike DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at with Hades and having, honestly, that has been by far the majority of my time in the past week or so.
Any cool, unexpected synergies that feel like they broke stuff?
Let's see. I think I talked about it before, but one of the upgrades for your cast, your ranged attack, makes it like this beacon that you drop, and then that beacon is a turret that fires. And that just to me seems good enough that I'm never not kind of steering myself towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I don't have that as my cast, it's because I didn't have the opportunity to take it.
Yeah.
So that, and you know, whenever I see that, it's from the goddess Demeter. And so it's like, whenever I see her, and if I don't have that yet, I bend towards it. So that almost seems a little too good. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, the Hades is still doing balancing patches here and there. I could see that one getting nerfed a bit.
Yeah.
What else did I have? Oh, the you get kind of, I don't know, David would know the words, but, you know, gauntlets are like just boxing gloves, essentially, as one of your weapons.
It's Roman, but cestuses.
Yeah. Cesti?
Yeah.
Sure. Cesti.
Cestuses, I think.
Yeah, what I said, cesti. No. but you get those, and then there's an ability that fires an arrow every time you attack, which isn't really worth much on something that is, you know, heavy and slow, but on these boxing gloves or cestuses that attack super rapidly,
mm-hmm.
that damage builds up.
Nice. So,
but yeah, it's a good time, and I'm very curious to see where it goes story-wise. They have my attention.
Neat. Is that that all you had?
That is me.
Cool. So because of COVID hair, and because it's been almost a year since I got a haircut, I've got elastics. I've got like rubber hair tie kind of things. Mm-hmm. And same. Dottie loves nothing more than to steal them. So she's been trying to take them off of the desk the whole time, and I've had to put them all in my pocket.
No hair pocket. Tie is safe.
Nope.
Pocket full of rubbers.
Rally around the family.
Wow. Chow is swooping in on the dad jokes this week.
I've been quiet this whole time. Slipping in and out of fever induced whatever. You gotta give me a little leeway, guys.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer. Dennis, what is the question that you ask the nice people?
Yeah, I was inspired by Wario this week, and I wanted to know if you could take a villain from any game and make them the star of their own game, which villain would you choose, and what is their game going to be like?
Yeah, and we'll get started here with Mike, who says, let's go with a full Metal Gear Solid remake, but you play as Liquid, setting up traps and bosses for Snake to encounter, flying around in a Hind D, wearing a disguise, and that's nice. That's the end of it. Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun. Just like evil genius, but at Shadow Moses Island.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Yeah. A lot of these kind of invert to be almost like base management or like level creation games.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, not at all.
Let's see, Ben, what does Devin say?
Devin says, Reapers from Mass Effect. I want to know their whole history.
Yeah.
Vizinov. Make it a Vizinov.
Fly around, destroy planets. Yeah.
I want to destroy whole planets.
Assume direct control. Come on. Yeah. Let's see. Jala, what does Sean say?
Sean says, though I don't really consider the boss a villain in Metal Gear Solid 3, I've always wished there was a spinoff game with her as the lead. She was such an incredible character. Yeah. I would have her game be just like a Metal Gear action stealth game. Yeah, sounds like fun. I'd play it.
No, I mean, she fought in World War II, like doing Metal Gear stuff, like in Germany and stuff like that. She was pregnant in World War II, actually. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Shit, that'd be fun. I mean, not so much pregnant, you know, it'd be interesting at the very least. She gave birth to spoiler on the battlefield. Yeah. Nice. Let's see here. Dennis, what does Christopher say?
He says, a castle simulator starring Alexander from Amnesia the Dark Descent. Construct your own Brennberg castle, design horrific dungeons, research new nightmare horrors, and learn of more efficient tortures to extract that sweet, sweet vitae?
Yeah, vitae looks right to me.
There we go.
Yeah. Nice.
This is the prison simulator, prison architect taken to a very dark place.
Yeah, so just torture simulator is ultimately what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Let's see. David writes, I'm thinking a character action game a la Bayonetta, where you play as Sephiroth, would be pretty fun. Yeah, if we weren't already full up on Final Fantasy VII games, I would agree.
There was a Final Fantasy game that was like a third person shooter.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII Dirge of Cerberus. He played as Vincent. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's not very good.
I'm surprised that did not open the floodgates for more genre bending in the franchise.
Yeah.
Well, that one wasn't very good. So
yeah, kind of killed.
I mean, a fair point.
Yeah. The remake has a little bit of character action stuff to it. It's at least a little more action heavy. Yeah.
Which I have that now since that was a PlayStation Plus deal.
Oh, dang. Yeah, it's good. Ben, what does Elliot say?
Elliot says, the villain is Square Enix. A shadowy cabal of power-hungry people have locked horns with other nefarious groups in a historic proxy war to gain influence and control over the world. The only person who can stand up to them has had their sequel canceled due to a conspiracy theory to solidify their power base through a new game which uses metadata to coerce others to spend in-game currency. Unsurprisingly, equally as powerful conspirators, EA, have a weapon of their own which threatens the homogeny of Square Enix. The game can be called Deus Ex Mankind Divided Part 2. Just replace Square Enix with the Illuminati, EA with the Majestic 12, the Avengers as Morpheus, and FIFA as Icarus, both prototypes of a much larger system, Steam. The endings involve merging with Steam, Human purchasing patterns are restricted to one platform of a benevolent AI, Helios, as humans can't be trusted to govern themselves. But we get Half-Life 3. Tracer Tong ending is destroying the system, and we return to our pre-online games where you can only play Tetris, or you can continue to use every platform and retain the status quo to remain in safe mediocrity, Illuminati.
This is fantastic.
Very
that
fully
was
developed.
Very well thought out. Yeah.
We need more parody video games. Damn it, video games. Why do you have to be such high effort?
They exist, but they're on Steam and they're not very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll settle for reading about them. I love this.
Yeah. It's tough that really good games take like 7 years to make.
Right. So. And millions and millions and millions of dollars. Yeah.
Yep.
Some of those games wind up parodies of themselves. So I guess that works.
Yeah. Let's see, Jala, what does Tom say?
Tom says Jurassic World Evolution, but you play as dinosaurs trying to get out and eat the tourists.
Oh yeah, I love that idea.
Man-eater, but with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Yes,
and therefore necessarily better than Man-eater, because dinosaurs are better than sharks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Aren't sharks dinosaurs?
Yes.
Or we're around with dinosaurs, I guess.
I'm just saying yes to everything.
Vaccine makes you very agreeable.
Compliant. Yeah.
I made a dad joke.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I don't know. I would say something like, oh yeah, there's probably a shark that's a living fossil, like alligators, but then somebody would come in and say, actually sharks existed 45 million years away.
I know somebody will let us know.
Sharks don't have feathers, not dinosaurs.
Oh man. Dennis,
maybe that's why I like burbs.
Dennis, what does Julia say?
Julia says Andrew Ryan, and it's a city management simulator.
I like that.
That'd be dope.
Yeah. Let's hear. Case says GLaDOS, and it's like a Lemmings game. Yeah, I could see that. Let's see. Ben, what does Jack say?
Jack says Dracula, and he's designing zones in the castles as a Belmont or Alucard. As a Belmont or Alucard attempts to traverse the castle.
Ooh, designing the stages in front of him as he goes. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Awesome. I tried to play Resident Evil Resistance, but like there's no support for that whatsoever. I got to play the tutorial of the Resident Evil game where you play survivors and then somebody who's the mastermind making the level of and putting the zombies and stuff out.
Wow, that hasn't been out for a year, and it's already dead.
There's nothing. Like you can't even do a quick match. There's nothing. Oh, I got to play the demo.
It looked neat, but
we need to get organized because this idea of like kind of one person is generating the level or almost playing GM comes up often enough. I want to go back and check out. I think it's called Crawl.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's very overtly that with a dungeon crawl, and so I'm curious to check it out.
Yeah. Let's see, that was you,
Jack.
That was Jack.
That was Dennis. No,
okay.
Dennis,
that
somebody.
And that was Dennis.
Ben,
so
somebody.
No, Ben, you accused Cole.
Okay. Well, no, I'll just finish this out. Rookie says Bowser Jr. with his paintbrush and flying car. And it's basically a Kirby game, the platforming ones. I figure Jr. can get at least a quintuple jump out of that car thing. Bowser Jr.'s Air Ride could be the poorly received cash-in spinoff after a couple of sequels. Talking shit about Kirby Air Ride is a way to get people to yell at you on this network. So that was Grookey saying that, not me. People get weirdly salty about defending that game.
And I stand Bowser Jr., so this is a double... I was going to say double entendre. That's not right. Infraction.
Yeah. Oh, you just walked into a world of shit. Yeah.
I feel nothing about this.
Bowser Jr.'s world of shit.
Let's see here. I've got one. It would be like Plague Inc., but in the Pioneer times, Oregon Trail, but you're playing as Dysentery. or any number of fatal diseases that they could get. Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah. Ben, how about you?
I'm having a tough time with this one. I think the only idea is I had Just Cause, maybe, because I think it'd be fun to, it's like before the henchmen or whatever, just having a game where you try and launch like disinformation campaign and propaganda and like take control of an island. That's basically Tropico though. So yeah, that already exists, but I guess a boss battle against somebody who has a grappling hook and a parachute could be very challenging though.
Yeah.
So that could be fun.
Yeah. Jala.
Well, because I'm fever induced, I was struggling also. However, I just decided I would pick Derek Simmons from Resident Evil 6, and it would be a game similar to We the Revolution with political machinations, scientific experiments, power struggles within the family, and whatever. And that's about the best I could come up with at the time.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. And Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I want to go play as Dr. Robotnik and have the game focus on like building the perfect mech, building the perfect machine to take on your superpowered, faster than light enemy.
The building the perfect mean bean machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. And I if I try to take a picture of this, I'm not going to be able to. But Dottie is inspecting my missed poster. Yep. No, I picked up my phone and she ran away. Oh, well,
you put away all the hair rubber bands. I see. Shame. Yeah. If anything were to happen to this miss poster.
Yeah. Yep. No, she. Yep. Sorry. I shouldn't have interrupted the show to try to do that, but that's what we've got. This is a good question, Dennis.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Fun to hear the answers.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for sharing your own. If you would like to participate in these in the future, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The End Boss.
Now it is time for The End Boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Jala, what's going on?
So, Endeavor RX is a video game that made history last summer by being the first game ever to get the FDA's sign-off to be prescribed as a medical treatment for kids between the ages of 8 and 12 with ADHD. It helps them with lingering memory and attention problems, and researchers now say that they might be able to apply this to COVID-19 survivors struggling with the same brain fog issues. Faith Gunning, a neuropsychologist with Weill Cornell Medicine in New York, is launching a study to see if it can help those patients with COVID-19. The group they're studying were severely affected and had moderate to severe COVID that required hospitalization and rehab before they were discharged home. So they're working with very severe cases. This is not like for literally every single person who had COVID. This is for the people worst hit who have had some extreme lingering side effects.
Yeah.
This same game has been tested on older adults with cognitive issues and middle-aged and older adults with depression and cognitive issues. And there have been changes in those people's brains, connectivity within the brain networks that support attention and executive skills, as well as some preliminary data showing improved mood for the people who have depression. So of course, this is not something, again, that everybody would need, but because it is a game, it is scalable and can be given to a lot of people who need intervention, whereas one-on-one cognitive intervention is going to be a lot harder because there just isn't the workforce to satisfy the demand. So the fact that this is already something that is proven to work on cognitive memory and attention problems, this could very well help some people who have, you know, ongoing effects from COVID. So I know that's like two wellness related games in a row that I've done, but like there wasn't a whole lot of news out this week that was very exciting to me. Mm-hmm. So, and somebody else already mentioned this, it already has the story that I was gonna take.
You graciously gave up that story for me.
I had already written a bit of a few notes on this one. So I was like, it's fine. I had notes on both of them, but it's all good. I think literally every one of us was going to bring that story.
Probably because the easy follow-up.
I want to go on record as being the first person to post it, but I did not post it to be my story. I was just happy to see it.
Yeah,
but I just want to say I'm glad to hear on kind of this brain fog treatment. That the way to continue out of COVID is exactly what I've been doing during COVID, which is just play a shit ton of video games.
Well, it's a like the cognitive errors and decline has been one of the more scary things that I've heard about. And it's good that there are people who are finding unconventional ways to combat that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That a way out is a way out. Yeah.
Or, I mean, Endeavor RX at the very least, something designed specifically. Yeah. We've alluded to the story that I think at least three of us were going to bring. So, Ben, what's the follow up that we're excited about?
Yeah. And, in a good news story, PlayStation decided to listen to fans after they announced a few weeks ago that they were going to shut down, the stores for PS3 and PS Vita. They decided to reverse that decision since many people were upset that they would not be able to purchase anything further on those platforms. Mm-hmm. So they said they're going to continue support for it. I think the exact thing they were saying was that they basically are going to try and find a workaround for how to be able to continue to support like purchases and stuff on those platforms going forward. Yeah. They're still going to shut down the storefront for PlayStation Portable, which I did not know what that was. But that was something that came out in 2004. But yeah, so this seems like a good move as far as listening to customers and what they want.
Yeah, good compromise, at the very least. I did not expect them to go back on their decision, but people who own Vitas, specifically, and PlayStation 3s are going to continue to be able to buy the games that they want to buy.
See, I just want to see how many, like, unique visitors there were to those stores in, like, the past week or so. I'm just really curious, like...
Oh, so many people, probably, yeah.
The response I expected from Sony was, like, guys... We can see there's three people who actually bought something in the past month. Like, stop being dumb.
The one case that the article brought up that I hadn't considered was like if you own a game on PS3 and you wanted to like buy DLC for it, you would not have been able to do that if they shut down the storefront.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I, like sucks. my PS3 literally has not been turned on in years.
Mm.
Yeah,
I mean obviously there's a lot of people playing older systems and. Good on Sony. Like, this is an objectively good thing. I don't want to come across as poo-pooing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder if, like, so they did this thing, they're gracious. I wonder if they will come back in a month or 2 months or whatever with data. Mm-hmm. Be like, hey, we wanted to keep the stores open, but you guys didn't find
so close it anyway.
So now can we close it?
I think a good reason why they're doing this too, or I don't know if they're considering this or not, is like since right now the consoles are saying like digital only or disc, like they're giving you the option. If they do things like this, like shut down the stores after a few years, like people are probably going to be less interested in buying like the digital only consoles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that being a main pressure point for them doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'm hallucinating, but was there a digital store that was announced to be shutting down and they like for the last week made everything like $1?
I don't remember that specific story.
Jala, do you remember it? Because then I can know if it was a fever dream or not.
But we don't know if it's a shared fever dream, though.
Mm.
I'm already fevered.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You can't ask me.
I thought that was a thing, and I was, for whatever reason, when I heard the news that they were going to shut it down, I was like, oh sweet, there will be like a week where I can get a bunch of stuff for the Vita for $1. Now it's gone away, and that is the thing I'm going to choose to complain about here.
Yeah. No fire cell.
False memory.
I swear it was a thing. Someone has to remember this with me. There was some storefront. It was like a failed. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have guessed it was PSP, but you just said they're just now closing down PSP.
Yeah.
But it was some digital storefront where I thought they knew they were on their way out, and they were just like, hey, everyone, go wild. You know, if you wanted something, it's yours now because we're shutting it down soon.
No. I've got nothing for you. Maybe listeners will know.
Yeah.
What I do have is a game that I'm excited about, and I promise I will stream this at least once when it comes out. I need to let everybody know that I'm excited for Power Wash Simulator.
What?
I saw that, and it was just funny because within the last week, we've been power washing our house, like actually physically doing the real thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, I power wash my my deck or my patio out back by my or on the side of my house.
And now you can play the simulator when you don't have to power wash.
When I'm out of things to power wash, I can go into the simulator and run a power washing empire. So first person game looks similar to like a house flipper. It's going to be coming out in quarter two of 2021. Yeah, you get to walk around and use a high pressured water spraying machine to restore surfaces back to their former luster. And it sounds very satisfying to me, and I'm going to stream it.
I was gonna say, I'm watching the trailer for it, and it looks like a Mario level, how much like black ink there is like all over the house.
Yeah.
Best part of this is you don't have to worry about actually getting spattered with the stuff you're spraying off.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, you stand upwind of it, you're fine. You can you can avoid back spatter. It's kind of a basic technique, you know.
Real tutorial level stuff here, Dennis.
What power washer model are you using then? If we want to do this,
I don't know, the one my stepdad gave me when he got a new one. Or no, they moved when they moved to the condo, they got rid of it. They're like, hey, we don't need this at our condo probably. So I was like, shit, yeah, I'll take a power washer. I'll find something to power wash, and I did.
Power washers, and then we recently got an electric leaf blower. Those are the adult
plug in or battery. Soakers.
Battery.
Oh shit!
Freedom.
Get yourself a plug-in, and 100-foot extension cord. Sorry, really? No, 75. Yeah. Oh my god, it's like a jetpack, man. Okay. Like my
upgrade from the shop vac that I was using. So
yeah, my battery power one was way too weak. Like I pretty much use the battery power one to clean out my garage now.
You don't have your own generator, Cole?
No, I don't have my own generator.
Oh, you got to get yourself a generator.
No, I'm saving up for one. They're expensive, dude. Like a good whole house generator is like $1,000.
This is punishment for making a dad joke earlier.
No, do not punish that.
And then finally, Dennis, round us out. What are some fools doing on Steam?
Yeah, well, this is the fools are the people patching Steam. So they did a small release recently and put in the notes, oh, you know, we fixed a little bug that happens for people who have over 25,000 games in their library. which set off just a wave of speculation across several different sites on, like, who the hell is this for? Like, it's Gabe Newell wrote an angry email, and that's why this got fixed. Like, it has to be that. For reference, I did some digging, and as of February this year, of our Lord 2021, for anyone doing an archive dive, Steam had about 50,000 games on it. So to encounter this bug, you literally need to own over half the games in Steam.
Which means you just have to have bought at least 4/5 of the Humble Bundles.
Yeah, pretty much. But even then, like, let's say generously you spend 1 hour on a game on average, right?
Right.
And that is hugely reasonable.
It would take you at least one day to get through all of them.
Yeah. At least, assuming an hour is a thousandth of an hour. No, this way it would take you over 3 years to just play these games if you were only putting an hour into each game. So I don't know who this is for, but, you know, good on Steam for that. Was on somebody's list. They checked the box. The one best guess that I saw is Steam ran a promotion way back in 2011 where they gave away their entire catalog to a lucky winner.
Holy shit.
I don't know if that was multiple lucky winners or just one, but maybe that person is, finally gotten the crippling bug off of their plate.
Maybe. Possibly. Huh.
Steam squashing a bug literally a decade later does sound more like them, so
it does. The math of this is pretty crazy. Yeah, I feel pretty good about my Steam library size now. So
yeah, just hold this up to anyone who tries to tell you you've got a problem.
Yep. I could be this fool. Yeah.
It's also assuming I think it was like $6 a game as an average. It's $150,000.
That's less than I expected.
Yeah, $150,000 of video games.
But if you put it in terms of bundle for racial justice and equality, it's only $125.
Right.
That's true. That's true. Good point.
Yeah.
Selling digital things is weird.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That sounds like a show to me. How do you all feel about buttoning it up?
I feel buttoned.
We need to let Jala go and sleep. Thank you for being on, Jala. So thank you very much for listening to level number 368. We appreciate you taking the time. I'm trying to think of like admin stuff, but you know, the things you can do, Patreon, ratings, reviews, telling your friends. Dennis, what's going on with Deck of Wonders?
Nothing too crazy. Coming out in November. And I'll probably close the pre-order window in late summer sometime this year. So
cool.
You still got plenty of time. Check it out on gamefound.com. And then you can search for Deck of Wonders, or you can just go to deckofwondersgame.com and you'll be able to find where to buy it through there.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've been Cole Ross. You can find me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me on Twitter at Deck of Wonders with underscores between the words.
I'm Jala Chan in all the places, so you can find me there.
I've been Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. Okay, who's got a title?
I have a few.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's Hitman, HIIT, all caps, man.
Okay. High There's intensity wasp. Interval training?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
There's wasp problem.
Okay.
And I feel nothing.
I feel like that's been a title before.
What's your third title?
The title of the podcast.
Well, you were the one who said that, Ben. So
that lines up.
Ben, what you got?
I have one. I made a dad joke.
Okay.
Now Cole has to keep that part in.
See? No, I was going to keep it in. It's fine.
Okay.
Let's see. Dennis.
Yeah, I've got three, and unsurprisingly, they're all Jala quotes.
Okay.
I have one with the gooby things, which okay. I almost asked on air, but what the hell is a gooby?
Well, okay. You know, if it's a goopy
mm-hmm.
and gooby, I don't know. Gooby is like. Much
is it
like
stalactite and stalagmite? Like,
yeah, like
as if it's coming down and
you're
goob
asking
is if
someone with a fever who hasn't slept much in the last couple of days to explain something that's just a Jala word. It's
all right, all right.
It's like the fiddly bits.
Yeah, okay, there. I understand that way more than any other explanation you could give.
It's also a 2009 children's movie starring
what?
The voice. It's like a bit, it's a kid and his teddy bear turns into a human sized walking around thing.
Ted 0.1.
Right, but not filthy. And like yeah. Eugene Levy is like a neighbor who can also see Gooby and is trying to get Gooby killed, I think.
Huh.
Because no. Gooby cannot be.
Well, in the further. Case of Moods of Madness, the framework within which I was referring to Gooby things. They can kill them all they want.
In the canonical Gooby lore, he is immortal.
Other... All right, we've gone on too far about Gooby. So one with the Gooby things. I made a dad joke.
Okay.
And the final one is I'm already fevered.
I have one, and this is just me being proud of a thing that I said. Fresh caught refrigerator.
Nice.
talking about getting stuff out of the Ohio River. Yeah, I made a dad joke! ! has the votes.
I think that's the vibe of this episode.
Yeah,
that's the vibe. I think
that's the vibe. Let's do it. Let people figure out the context. Cool. All right. Well, I'm gonna go. I'm sleepy.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna
have a good
go
night, everyone.
Also. Good night, everyone. Have a good week.
Bye. Have a good week.
Bye. Yeah, see you guys. See you.